This prove that I'm official.
Awesome. Okay, so guys, thanks about for it. Being the first to participate in conversation.
Hey, Bill. Brian Mahoney.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Armstrong. Hello.
So basically, we have I have a set of questions right here.
Fantastic.
And I'll kind of be guiding us through these questions. All that kind of revolve around coming to Connecticut, immigration, what it means to be a good neighbor. More so just kind of asking you what your personal experiences with some of these issues are.
Yeah.
And I think we're not trying to accomplish anything monumental today, but kind of explore how we can take micro steps and how food and other local businesses might help in initiatives like this to bring people together.
Fantastic.
I guess the only ground rule is that we keep it chill, keep it respectful. Respectful tangents are totally welcome, and we're not trying to cause any sort of fight whatsoever.
Yeah.
This is very new to us as well, so constructive feedback is always welcome. If it's okay with you guys, I'll also take just snap a photo during the interview, just so we can have a record of all the conversations that are taking place throughout the whole day.
Yeah, super. Absolutely. That's fine. Bill, where are you from?
I was born in New Orleans. I've moved around a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those folks that is kind of just from everywhere. But I've lived in New Haven for quite a while now, on and off since the 80s. How about you?
Been in Connecticut for a total of 10 months now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, well, thank you. Previously in upstate New York. But I've been working in Irish history and Irish immigration history specifically for about the last 5 or 6 years. But yeah, I grew up in the middle of the mountains in upstate New York. So this
in
is
the Dax.
In the Dax.
All right.
Yeah, Central Adirondacks. Yep.
My sister-in-law lives in Old Forge.
40 minutes away.
So.
Yep. Indian Lake. Sorry, girl.
I know your land.
All right.
So, guys, cool. So, we already got to the introductions. So, we can start off. What's one country in the USA that you're interested in? If possible, just I'll speak a little bit.
Should we race with a buzzard? Hit Ireland?
I can actually kick off on that if you want. So my ancestors, obviously, my last name is Mahoney, so Ireland. My father's side is from County Cork. My mother's side, the Carroll family, was from Vermont, Sligo, and Mayo. And actually, my father's side, we can trace back to basically famine times, great hunger. My mother's side's generally back to the late 18th century. So it's kind of nice that my job as the director at Ireland's Great Hunger Museum, it brings together my professional passion with my personal background, so it's a nice melding of the two. So every day we get to talk about these issues at the museum. Great fire truck in the background, right? We'll let that go by so we can all hear. So I'll jump into the professional background because it coincides with my personal stuff. At the Ireland's Great Hunger Museum, we talk about a refugee crisis in mid-19th century. We talk about the poorest of the poor coming over to America. We talk about the problems that they ran into when they got here with groups like the Know Nothing Party and the American Party, and basically the nativism and the xenophobia that was going on, the anti-Catholicism. So we talk about all that, but we're able to relate it to modern-day issues. So where it might not be the Irish coming and being told that they're going to be a burden on taxpayers or a burden on the healthcare system, we can relate it to current immigrant groups. So this is something that's happened in the past. It's something that we have to learn from constantly. So we're able to connect modern day issues with the past with the students that are coming into the museum.
Cool. And Bill, what's one country that your ancestors are from other than the USA?
All right. Well, I can never stick to one answer or subject. It's probably part of Irish.
We like to talk.
My Irish genes or something. But it's also Ireland and also Cork. My mother was Casey. Ever the Corks. And another town that I can't remember. My father was Armstrong. Is an English, Scottish name. Mostly Scottish. It's right on the borders of Scotland and England. And it was a name that originated around the 1500s, and they became riding clans, which were clans that basically rode the borders at that time were in chaos because England and Scotland were always at war, and this was sort of a no man's land, a borderland that the Armstrong family was very, very prominent in. And eventually, English King James went after them and broke up the clan, and they scattered. It was a diaspora. And they went to Europe. A lot of them as mercenaries. A lot of them went to Belfast and Northern Ireland. And I'm not sure what happened to my family, other than that we came over here through Canada and just kind of wandered down into America. And when I sort of researched that and found that. When I told my brother, I said, you know, we're illegal aliens because we came here in the 1800s or something, just wandered into Canada from Canada to America and didn't register. And he's like, no, don't say that. Mm-hmm. Right. Of course, at that time, it was a completely different story. And there was no...
That's an argument a lot of people use.
There's no immigration
rules
at that time.
Exactly. So that's an argument I hear at the museum a lot. Well, the Irish always came here legally. Well, yeah, you could say that because there were no immigration rules, really, when they were coming over in the early 19th century, late 18th century. Yeah, so things have changed, absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. What brought you to Connecticut?
I came here, I'm originally from the South. I was born in New Orleans. My brother was born in Birmingham, Alabama. My family is from Chattanooga and Missouri.
Thank you.
But my father was sales. He was in sales, so he traveled around, finally settled in Connecticut. And I did first grade through junior year in high school. Then we moved again. And then I came back for college, and I'm more or less stuck here. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is. Land where you land. Yeah.
You land where you land. That's a good way of putting it. Like I mentioned, I've been here for about 10 months now. And what brought me here was a job opportunity at Quinnipiac University. Quinnipiac, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, opened up Ireland's Great Hunger Museum. And it was a collection that began back in 1997 when the president of the university, who actually just retired, John Leahy, retired after 31 years as a university president, which just blows my mind. But he and Murray Lender and Marvin Lender, two guys who had no Irish blood in them, started this fantastic collection on Ireland's Great Hunger. See, Murray and Marvin saw the connection between their own heritage. They saw the connection between the Jewish people's struggles and what was going on in Ireland in the mid-19th century. And they said, this is a story we have to talk about and tell. A lot of people don't know this ever happened, you know, that Ireland's population was basically cut in half from immigration and from death. So having the opportunity to work at a museum and tell this story and relate it to modern day issues was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I and our two little boys picked up from the Albany, New York area and moved here, and we haven't looked back.
Cool. What's a tradition that's been passed down in your family?
I'm going to have to think.
Tradition that's been passed down, besides being loud and talking. The thing with my family is it's been the closeness of family, I think. I was lucky enough to grow up next door to my grandmother, her mother was from Ireland. But the fact that my family, my aunts and uncles, my cousins, they've always been a part of kind of my upbringing and my development, that even to this day, my boys have a very close connection with my brother and their great aunts and great uncles and all their cousins. So yeah, the tradition of family has been there since day one.
Well, I kind of wonder about that myself. I mean, you know, we celebrate a lot of, you know, the Irish traditions, and we're Catholic. I kind of think of it in terms of our character, and we, you know, we kind of inherit the characters of our ancestors, I feel, and we've inherited this sort of great joy, and then this, you know, which is just flip around in an instant into, you know, just constant anxiety and worry. So, not a question I'm used to thinking about.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, we're very proud of our heritage and in love with it and love to research it.
Three more questions left. What personal experiences inform your beliefs about immigration? It could be the experiences of your friends and family.
So it's kind of funny. I grew up in New York State, which you tend to think is a very, very liberal state. But where I grew up was probably conservative central in New York. I was lucky. My parents pushed me. And they both grew up in the same town where they live today, and their parents grew up in the same town. They pushed me to expose myself to different beliefs and different viewpoints. And they pushed my brother and I to go to college. We were the first generation in our family to go to college. I don't know without that, you know, the backing of my parents that I would have this kind of view of the world that I do today. And they've been really open to learning, they're challenging their own beliefs. They didn't have this expectation that, yes, we're Irish Catholic, we do things this way and we believe in this, you have to have these same views. No, they've always been open to these different conversations. Which I've always been just amazed by. So I was lucky. I had two parents who really pushed me. My older brother, he's 7 years older than me. He did the same. You know, you go out and experience the world on your own, and that'll kind of shape on who you're going to be.
Well, my thoughts on immigration, I guess, have developed from me having traveled a lot. And when I was in high school, we lived in Europe for a while. Going over there was just a real eye-opener. You're seeing a different culture, different people who are, you know, just when I got there, just getting my head around that people think in another language was just something that amused me and amazed me. I loved it. I lived in Belgium and in the 80s, and so during that time, those, you know, the European countries were still, and they still are today, a lot, very homogenous. And there was a lot of immigrant communities in those countries suffered, racial profiling, racial stereotyping, and harassment. It was mostly Moroccans then. But I traveled around a different countries in Europe, north and south, and it just opened your eyes to your, it's impossible to have preconceptions about and generalizations about other cultures. And I saw that immigration in Europe at that time, and they still have problems, was something very difficult, and they struggled with it, and they didn't know how to handle it. I come back to America, I came to New Haven, and you look at, you know, this is, New Haven is very much one of the great cities in the immigrant tradition of America, like New Orleans and New York and Boston, where just, we've caught all the people from all the waves of the major immigrant movements, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful city where everyone, you know, everyone gets along. There's no real problem. Although I have a theory on why New Haveners are so grumpy, but I don't know, maybe that's for another time. But I think it has to do with immigration. But yeah, that's what informed, or at least I should say, when I got back here, I just thought, it works so well here. It works so well here in America, and it's built into what, you know, it's built into the Constitution and just how the government works. And I was very grateful for that, and I think it's something that, it's a great strength and something that we should celebrate.
Cool. Second to last question. What makes a good neighbor, what makes a bad neighbor?
I've had both in New Haven, that's for sure.
You know, from just moving here recently, I've had the great opportunity of, you know, meeting a bunch of new people. And, you know, what's been fantastic about this Hamden, New Haven, Central Connecticut area is that everyone's been completely welcoming and introducing themselves as soon as we get here.
Now, do you live in New Haven or Hamden?
I live up in Cheshire right now.
Oh, Cheshire.
Yeah, my wife and I bought a place in Cheshire. But the idea that people are so welcoming, and it doesn't matter if you're black, white, you know, Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, it doesn't matter. We haven't run into any of those issues, which I've been amazed with, especially with the current political climate. The openness that people have of different opinions has been fantastic. So that's always what I found to be a great neighbor. You know, people looking out for each other, looking out for the betterment of one another. You don't see that in a lot of places that I've experienced in the past. You know, I've been in places before where people just keep to themselves and you never see them. It hasn't been like that here in Connecticut, which I've been thrilled about.
It is. New Haven and Connecticut can be really welcoming. I tend to look at things on just sort of the microcosmic scale, just the between individuals. And when I was a homeowner, neighbors would come and go. Some people were just sit around with them and drink beer and have fun and, mm-hmm. you know, listen to games and do things and hang out and just make great friends. And other neighbors, some other neighbors would come in and they are like, you know, they never go out, they don't want to see you, they don't want to be with you, so it's just live and let live. But I don't know, I've seen neighbors down in New Orleans. I was living in a place in New Orleans for a while and rented by this woman, and she was so happy to have me move in, and I was like, wow, she's super happy to have me here, this is great, when I first moved in. A few months later, she's renting out more apartments in her little apartment building she had, and a young black man comes in to apply for the apartment. She says, oh, no, sorry, it's just been filled. Basically, she didn't want any black people in there, and I realized that she was so happy to see me because I'm a very white person, mm-hmm. and my stomach just turned, and I felt so foolish that I had not seen that. Of course, I don't know if I could have recognized it or not, mm-hmm. but those are not good neighbors, even though they can be friendly to some people.
Awesome. One last question, guys. Where's a place in Connecticut that you recently had a conversation with a stranger?
Besides sitting right here.
Stranger or strange person? Well, I work in the library. I work in the public library downtown, New Haven. New Haven Free Public Library, and we have conversations with strangers every day. And it's absolutely wonderful. Basically, my job is just to sit there behind the desk and wait for people to come in who need things. They need books, obviously. They need books because they want to improve their lives. They're all looking to improve their lives. And that's part of the American dream and why people are breaking down the doors and want to come to this country so badly, because the American dream is completely alive, and it's the thought that you can build yourself up, you know, from whatever circumstances you're in, and it can still be done today. It's, you know, we're in a situation in a country where it can be much more challenging today, but it's still something that I see happen with immigrants coming into the library to learn English. I've seen the most dedicated people I've ever seen in my life come into the library. They will take English, then they'll find every other English class around town and go to every English class in town. And by the end of a year or a semester, they're speaking great English, they're looking for jobs, and they just want to participate and contribute to America. And those are the strangers that I meet, but they're the people that my ancestors were, you know, when they came here, and it just feels so amazing to see that is just something that is perpetual in America and just so much part of us and believed around the world, and it's true.
similar. My job offers me the opportunity to talk to you, numerous people every day. And what I love to see at the museum, it offers this great space where people can have the conversations about refugee issues and immigration issues and hunger issues, in a place where, you know, you can have this conversation, and you can have different viewpoints, but you're not going to be, causing a scene. People are going to be accepting of it. And, you know, you leave that conversation there. That happens on a daily basis at Ireland's Great Hunger Museum, and it's just great being able to share this tragic story, environmental catastrophe, humanitarian catastrophe, and be able to use it as a learning tool for future generations. And that's probably the best thing that we do there, is talk to students about this and how we can prevent this in the future, and prevent this the xenophobia attitudes, nationalistic attitudes that occurred in the 19th century from occurring here today. We do that on a daily basis, which is fantastic.